Doesn't your book or your DVD have a title?
I wouldn't even call it a DVD, Grandpa.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Tichner, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 965, Glaser's Dog Meditations. Actor, comedian, and author John Glaser is turning his comedy album, John Glaser's Soothing Meditations for the Solitary Dog, into a multimedia event that incorporates storytelling, comedy, painting, but no DVDs, with raising money for local shelters and organizations that support good boys and good girls. John was in Chicago recently doing his live show, which included the VIP sip and paint option. So I asked him to explain the premise and origins of John Glaser's Soothing Meditations for the Solitary Dog and why he's bringing it, hopefully, to a city near you.
The premise is that if you have an anxious dog that you need to leave at home alone, you can put on my album and it keeps them calm. It's soothing. I talk very softly. And then because it's a comedy album, it goes off on a lot of really annoying tangents that become very unsoothing. And so similarly, the show, which is very new and something I just really feel like it's worthy of my time, you know, as far as when we were all trying to figure out what should I focus on right now.
Yeah.
Idea-wise, this one just felt like, you know, we did a record release party in November of 23 when the album came out, and that was more a bunch of people doing bits and including, you know, it was me mostly doing the show. But when we had an idea to do a paint and sip option, which is, you know, you come an hour before doors open, you get a good seat, you get a free glass of wine, and then a little canvas and a watercolor set at your table. And to me, the directive is either to paint your pet, preferably a dog, but it could be any pet, or it could be something from the album. But that's the general idea. And the first time I did that was a few months later in January 24 in San Francisco at Sketchfest.
Perfect.
The paint and sip part really, to me, made it a special show worth potentially touring or doing a short run somewhere, because it just felt really, first of all, it felt very special. Like if you love dogs, there's something really sweet about the paint and sip part. It's still a comedy show and it's still my comedy and it's really dumb, but the paint and sip became this really sweet part of the show where, you know, what I do is I tie a piece of twine across the stage with a bunch of clothespins. And then when people are done with their paintings, they just take them up and hang them up to dry. And so when the general admission crowd shows up, here's this really great stage picture of all these portraits on stage. And then I start the show with the portraits, just doing short Q&As with like 5 to 10 people. And I'll pick my favorite portraits, and it's hard to just pick that few.
Sure.
And it was really just awesome. Like people are telling these random, like a variety of stories about their pets. And it just sort of became this thing that sort of galvanized the show into this special night of dog centric humor, but also just personal stories. And then for me, very similar to the album, it goes off on all these tangents.
Yeah.
And so that became, and I'm still figuring out the show. And then there's another, a couple live bits that I did in the show, including the one Dee saw in Chicago, which I'm still figuring out, where, you know, stuff happens at the end, because it's really the portraits, then this big sort of like slide presentation that I'm talking about, like my dog, my old dog, and then various tangents that it goes off. And it's really fun. I think there's something there. So I'm going to give this a shot. I may take it on the road if I can put it together. And there's something, I don't know. I think it just, it's a cool night out. It's different. It's, you know, got a little substance to it as opposed to just here's another comedy show. That's what I like about it. It's something.
Well, I love it. It's not only multimedia. I mean, I suppose it could be a DVD if people are still making DVDs, but it's, you know, it's vinyl, it's recording, it's streaming, it's live. It's not just multimedia. It's multi-genre. It's a theater piece. It's an audio thing. It's storytelling. It's stand-up. It's crowd work. It's improv. It's personal. It's public. I love it. It's hitting on so many levels, John Glazer. Yeah, it does sound worthwhile.
It's all those things. Like, the theatrical quality of it is what I really like. You know, that's usually what I do when I'm doing live stuff. And, you know, I also started a separate Instagram page just for the portraits. And to me, if I can really end up doing this show a bunch of times and put together this really awesome page, it's just, I don't know. I just love dogs so much. Like, I do off leash. I live near Prospect Park in Brooklyn. Uh-huh. I take my dog there just about every morning. I just had this conversation with some of these dog owners that I've met in the park that I've become friendly with. Like, we all just feel so, you know, we all love dogs extremely, and we all feel the same. We all feel so lucky to live next to this big, gorgeous park in the middle of Brooklyn, and that we all get to start our days like this in this giant field with dogs running free off leash, just running around and having fun. And it just feels so good. And if you love dogs the way we all do, it just, there's something special about it. And that's how the show feels. And it's an extension of that feeling. And what I'm also trying to do, which I have done so far at every show I've done, and this would be the aim if I tour it, would be to highlight either a local shelter, rescue, some kind of organization. So it also is this all-encompassing loving dogs night. And so we did that here in New York, with an organization called Positive Tales, which is kind of like Doctors Without Borders, but for veterinary care for low-income, underserved communities.
Right.
In Chicago, there was a place called Paws, which is a no-kill shelter where you can adopt dogs, and we have a live therapy dog or just a live dog roaming about the lobby before the show, and then I bring the dog on stage with the handler, and we talk about their organization. We did that in San Francisco at Sketchfest. There was a place called Rocket Dog Rescue, brought the lady on stage with her dog. She talked about her organization. So it's at least, you know, also spotlighting these places in every town that I go to, which will be a part of the show. And, you know, even if I were to take it on the road, it would be, I mean, I could see this being a documentary film where we get to go to some of these shelters with the camera.
Oh, 100%.
You know, there's lots of ways this can go. So it's kind of that's where it is right now. It feels just special enough that I want to do something with it. And it's fun as hell, and it's super dumb and funny as well.
Hello there. This is James Finn Garner. I'm the author of Politically Correct Bedtime Stories and Rex Coco, Private Clown. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, you lucky duck.
Where can you RSE the RSE? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we'll be able to announce soon, and the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for other venues and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with John Glazer, talking about his comedy album and live show, John Glazer's Soothing Meditations for the Solitary Dog. Is it true for you too, the older we get, the more we want these awe moments in our entertainment, in our lives?
Well, you know, especially now, like if there's, you know, and I hate to inject politics into the conversation, but it's impossible not to. And it almost in some ways feels irresponsible not to. You know, I really have a tough time with that right now with social media. Like even when I'm promoting the show, you know, I think there's a place for just, you know, making, and I've gone back and forth with it. Like there was a stretch during the first Trump presidency where I was posting all the time angry posts, and I felt like it was extremely important, like we should all be up in arms and angry, and I still feel that way, but I have had a tougher time. Like I kind of stopped doing that back in the fall of 22, and I remember specifically when, because I just felt like the anger had just become all consuming. Not that it, like we should all be so angry right now about what's going on.
Yeah.
It's so deeply infuriating and existentially upsetting.
Yeah.
But I made the decision for myself just to have my pay. Like it's such an oversaturated world, social media.
Yeah.
You know, no shortage of information and sadly misinformation. And I just made the decision, right or wrong, good or bad, to just have my page be a diversion.
You know? I'm in the same boat. We should absolutely all be angry, but I know my own limitations are, I've got to calibrate. I can be a pleasant companion, or we can talk politics, because I have a very short fuse about all of this stuff. So I agree with you that the kind of comedy that you're putting out there is more valuable than ever. Is there a the meditative vibe that your show creates, like at a sketch fest or at the I.O. in Chicago, or, you know, at comedy theaters, does that create a different vibe for the other comics on the bill? Do they welcome your sort of brand of meditative, dumb, silly comedy, or are they welcoming of what you're doing?
Well, I'm not really sharing the bill with, you know, when I'm doing the show, it's just my own thing. The first time we did it, it was more of a record release party, and the other people doing it had either done stuff on, like, voices on the album, or I just asked them to come do a bit that was related to the show. Like, I wanted every bit to be either tied to the album or some kind of dog-centric bit. So I'm never really doing the show with, like, on a bill with other comics, and it's not something that I would do like that. And even, you know, it's not being done in traditional comedy clubs necessarily. So that's not really part of it. And even when I'm doing live shows, regardless, which I don't do all that often anymore, it was always with like-minded comedians, similar sensibilities, those types of shows and venues. So that's not really, thankfully, in it.
It's its own thing. It sounds, Were you before you were an improviser and a comedian, were you ever an actor doing more quote unquote traditional plays? Because I love the theatricality of this show, that your live show that you're creating.
I mean, I knew I wanted to pursue acting. It was always comedy. I mean, I did a play in high school, a couple plays, but it was always mostly comedy. I did a play in Chicago. Do you remember Mariachi Theater?
Sure.
Small theater uptown. I did a play there, but it was mostly comedy and, you know, still, you know, doing acting. I've done very little drama, even though I certainly enjoy doing that. And I think I do it. It's just not what I'm as good at. And I just focus on, but there's so much elements of that in all my comedy that I kind of enjoy.
Yeah, there are moments in your comedy where people go, wait, is this really happening right now? Is this a bit, or is this a thing? It's hard to know, which is lovely. I love that you found an outlet for this really passionate thing that came out of the pandemic that's turned into a real thing.
I mean, if this could be something that turns into a bigger project, you know, I'd be extremely happy to do something with dogs and the world of dogs. Like if I can make this a bigger thing, which in my mind I can see it being, as far as, you know, making it a wider thing other than just a comedy show, you know, where we're giving spotlights to organizations and trying to get dogs adopted and, you know, doing my part to help and anything in that world, I'd be extremely happy doing.
Well, I love that you've turned this into such a multimedia project. The one medium you haven't created is you're not another old comedian with a podcast.
Yeah, that's in some ways I'm glad, and in other ways there's stories I could tell that I won't right now about my experience with that world, which has been truly annoying. So all due respect to anyone that's doing a podcast, but that's a whole world. Even just the word podcast bums me out.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. John Glazer will be performing his Soothing Meditations for the Solitary Dog this Sunday, June 8th in Socrates, New York, and then again on August 7th in Brooklyn. Go to his Instagram page at John Glazer, JAHNGLAYZER, for more information. Then send us your favorite good boy via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to Solitary Dog Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tish Howard. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to another funny blast from the 90s, James Finn Garner, author of Politically Correct Bedtime Stories. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 965 2895ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I always feel bad getting on a podcast and talking about how much I hate them, because it's not it's not necessarily true. I like doing my friends, and they're always fun, but
it's a great tag. If we can't make fun of ourselves, then what the f*** are we doing here?
Yeah, god damn it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.